All right, good morning. Good morning. Want to welcome you all here this morning. So glad that you came. If you don't mind, we're going to get right to it. If I could trouble you to check your devices, make sure they're silenced or off. And at this time, we want to welcome our online viewers. So we're going to get started early, actually. We've got a lot to get to, and so we're going to get to it. Right? Are we okay? Can I just keep going? That's not a problem for me, you know. So we have two services on Sunday morning, as many of you know. The first service is devoted to Bible prophecy. We do our weekly Bible prophecy update. And then second service, which will be at 11:15 a.m. Hawaii time for those of you online, is the sermon. And it's a verse-by-verse study where we're currently going through this amazing book of Hebrews. Today's text is going to be chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And it's going to be a message of hope and encouragement to those who are weary and discouraged. And what we're going to do is look at biblical and practical ways to not grow weary or lose heart in the face of extreme difficulty. Also, for those of you online that are watching by way of YouTube or Facebook, we would encourage you to go directly to jdfarag.org for the uncensored, uninterrupted entirety of the update. It'll be available there. Also, if you'll hang in there with us to the end, we are going to address an issue, and it is an issue. We have many questions concerning the many exemption letters that have been submitted to employers, and so we're going to take some time and talk about that as well. All right, let's get to it. For today's update, I'm going to make this bold statement that Bible prophecy has never been more important than it is now. And if you'll kindly allow me to, I want to explain why this is. And in so doing, I hope that you'll be encouraged in these perilous times that we're living in, and as we see the day fast approaching. What follows are three reasons that Bible prophecy is more important now than it ever has been in human history. And again, I know that's a bold and brash statement, and spoiler alert, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is revealed. Jesus is coming back soon, and Jesus is the only answer for everyone and anyone of that hope that lies within us. Now, while all three and the many more like them work in concert one with the other, Jesus, as the only answer, is the one that I would like for us to focus in on. And here's why. Many are asking many questions about everything that's happening in the world today. And here's the thing. We have the answer. And I really want for us to talk about that in particular. This is one of the main purposes of Bible prophecy, such that we can answer their questions by pointing them to Bible prophecy, which in turn points them to Jesus, who fulfills all Bible prophecy. And you don't have to be an expert and offer some lengthy dissertation. It can be something as simple as this. Did you know? And pose it and frame it in a question. The Savior did that, by the way. And the reason for that is because when you just say something to someone, that's it. But if you ask of someone a question, you sort of force them, cause them to actually have to consider the question that you're asking them for the answer to the question that you're asking them. This is why in the Gospels we see the Savior many times asking questions. It makes you, get this, I know this is shocking, it makes you have to think, right? So just a simple question along the lines of, did you know that the Bible foretells everything that we are seeing happen in the world today? And then just give the Holy Spirit elbow room and let him take it from there, because he will. Because now you've got him thinking. And by the way, you might be surprised to know that the Lord's already gone before you. And they've already been thinking about that, wondering about that. And then you say something about that. The Holy Spirit's right there and they're going, you know, I wondered about that. Everything that is happening in the world today was foretold in the Bible. And again, you don't have to go into this lengthy dissertation. You could just key in on one in particular prophecy in the Bible. Back on October 25th of last year, we actually devoted the update to the top 10 Bible prophecies. And really, it's a template of sorts that we have to equip you. It's a at-a-glance look at Bible prophecy. And I want to, we provided the link to this, but I want to go through them quickly and in order in the interest of time. We have the scriptural references as well. I put number 10 as the mocking of Bible prophecy and the Lord's return. This is an ironic one, right? There's a Bible prophecy about people mocking Bible prophecy. How ironic is that? They're actually fulfilling Bible prophecy when they mock Bible prophecy. And those of us who are expecting with great expectancy the return of Jesus Christ. That's actually a prophecy. Number 9. This is a very specific prophecy concerning the sudden destruction of Damascus, Syria. Number 8, this is the Ezekiel 38 prophecy, as it's commonly referred to, which is an allied invasion of Israel. Number 7, and this is a good one, because this one, I mean, it really hits home. No pun intended. It's about earthquakes. Massive earthquakes increasing in frequency and intensity. That is a prophecy in the Bible. Number 6, the increase of wickedness. Number 5, the increase of lawlessness. Number 4, this global cry for peace and security. Number 3, an intoxicating obsession with dividing Jerusalem, aka the two-state solution. Number 2, confirming of a 7-year peace agreement which commences the 7-year tribulation. And then number 1, drum roll please. I have this at number 1 for a reason. I think you know why. And it's this prophecy concerning the forming of a one-world religion, a one-world government, and a one-world economy. Now, why do I start this way? Because knowing about these Bible prophecies is a powerful tool when it comes to getting Jesus to people and people to Jesus. In this, the last hour of human history as we know it. Simply put, these prophecies are the revelation of Jesus Christ by virtue of the fact that they bear witness to Jesus Christ. This is Revelation chapter 1, the first three verses. Beginning in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you know that's what the book of Revelation is about? It's all about Jesus. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And I might as well just get this over with. The enemy has been met with smashing success. I like that word smashing, as you know. The enemy has been met with smashing success when it comes to keeping the Christian as far away from the book of Revelation as he possibly can. Oh, it's so apocalyptic. It's too hard to understand. Nothing could be further from the truth. Do you know what the word in the original language of the Greek New Testament, apokalypsos, means? Where we get apocalypse. And you can thank Hollywood for totally ruining the meaning of this word. You know what the word apocalypse means? Wait for it. Revealing. I know this is deeply profound. Revelation. Revelation. Unveiling, revealing, unveiling, revealing what? No, not what, who? The person of Jesus Christ. That's what the revelation is. And by the way, this is one more thing on this. Just indulge me. It's not revelations. Let me just get this off my chest. It's revelation. It's the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who, verse 2, bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. He was an eyewitness of. And then verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. And here's why. For the time is near. Stop right there. Did you know that of all the books in the Bible, there is only one book that promises a blessing to those who read it, hear it, and take it to heart? And it's the book of Revelation. Maybe that's why the enemy wants to keep the Christian out of the book of Revelation. He knows. Well, first of all, how would you like it if there was a very famous book, bestseller in history, the number one best-selling book of all time, and it contained a book about how it ends for you? And it doesn't end well. I wouldn't want you to read that either. So at least he's, you know, maybe that explains it. But there is a blessing that is promised to those who read this book, hear the prophecy in this book, and take to heart that which is written in this book. And the blessing that comes is because the time is near when he comes for us. And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. In addition to Bible prophecy as the revelation of Jesus Christ, So too does Bible prophecy prove the soon return of Jesus Christ. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to begin reading in verse 16. He writes, and by the way, let me just kind of give you the backstory of what's going on at this time, at the time that he writes it. The Christians are going through unspeakable horror and persecution under Nero. He would take these Christians at this time, when the Apostle Peter, by the Holy Spirit, wrote these two letters. He would take Christians, he would have them dipped in tar, and then he would light them on fire and burn them alive. And then he would get in his chariot with his homosexual lovers, and he would ride around in his gardens, and he would say to these Christians as they were burning alive, "Ah, you're the light of the world." That's the context and what is happening at the time that Peter writes these letters, just to kind of give you an idea. Now he says, verse 16, chapter 1, in his second epistle, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain," referring to what we affectionately refer to as the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was there, James and John with him, and they witnessed this. Elijah and Moses, and then Jesus in his glorified state. They witnessed that. Now, this is going to be important here in a moment. You'll see why. And verse 19. "So we have the prophetic word confirmed." Some of your translations render it "the more sure word of prophecy, which you would do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Okay, now stay with me. Here, Peter is writing, and he's referring to this glorious experience. I mean, he was just speechless, which for Peter, that's saying something. In fact, it's recorded for us like this. "And Peter, not knowing what to say, said." He was speechless. He didn't know what to say. So, not knowing what to say, in this speechless state of utter awe, he said. It is good for us to be here. And then, if he would have just but stopped there, he goes on, and don't be too hard on Peter. I think a lot of people are going to owe Peter an apology in heaven. I'll be at the front of that line probably. But he goes on to say, "Hey, I know, let's build tabernacles here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus." And Jesus has to, and never imagine this done harshly, I believe very gently, compassionately, just says, "No, Peter, that's not what this is about. See, Elijah is representative of the prophets, and Moses representative of the law, and Jesus supersedes both and fulfills both. So for Peter to suggest that would be almost to bring Jesus down to their level. Now, why do I go into all of that? Because here Peter was an eyewitness of this account. And it clearly made an indelible impression upon his mind and heart for him to bring it up. What he was saying was, I was there. But that's not why I believe in Jesus or follow him. Do you know why I believe in Jesus and why I follow Jesus? It's because of prophecy. Now think this through with me. What if the confirmation of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord was relegated to and predicated upon a Mount of Transfiguration experience? We're dead in the water. Because we weren't there. Peter was there. In other words, what he's saying is, that's not what you look to have the assurance, the confirmation. No, it's not the experience, as glorious and majestic as it was. Can you imagine hearing the voice of God the Father say those words? He heard those words. He was there. He saw that. He was there. And all of that. Now, it was not because of that. It's because of Bible prophecy. That's what he's saying. It's the more sure word of prophecy. All of the prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, his first coming, over 300, and those are where those brilliant mathematicians have done the work of trying to come up with just the statistical odds of being able to fulfill even 8 of those over 300 prophecies. And it's just an astronomical number. Do you realize, I'm just trying to put into perspective, and I don't want to take too much time, but I think maybe this is important for us to understand. It's going to be germane to our understanding of how important Bible prophecy is. It is so important. More important than it's ever been at any other time in human history. Do you realize that Jesus could have been virgin born in Jerusalem and he would not fulfill the prophecy? Because one of those prophecies was, yes, he would be virgin born. That alone pretty much disqualifies every other human being born in human history, right? So that alone. But if he were born in Jerusalem, null and void, doesn't qualify. He's not the Savior. He does not fulfill the prophecy, because the prophecy is he would be born in Bethlehem. I mean, you can go as far down that road as you want to. One more. If Judas would have betrayed him for 29 pieces of silver, no go. No can. Does not fulfill the prophecy. The prophecies had to be fulfilled with 100% accuracy. That is the importance of the more sure word of prophecy. That is the importance of Bible prophecy. It is the most important thing, the prophetic word confirmed. Prophecy. This brings me to where I really wanted to go. Probably should have got there sooner. You'll forgive me. But it's this aforementioned purpose of Bible prophecy being that of giving to everyone who asks Jesus as the only answer. We have the answer. This is Peter's first epistle, chapter 3. I want to begin reading in verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. And then he says this, do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Oh my goodness. This is so apropos for us today. Those who have been on the receiving end, which we're going to talk about shortly, on the receiving end of very threatening letters from employers, very frightening and terrifying. And Peter says, do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But, verse 15, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, first. Now, second, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, verse 17, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Okay. For the remainder of our time together today, I would like to expound on the paramount importance of this one truth of being at the ready with an answer of our hope, our only hope, in the person of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we're going to end the live stream on YouTube and Facebook. Back on August 22nd of this year, we announced that we had teamed up with the Master's Touch Print and Mail to provide religious exemption letters. This last week, I was surprised of the status of those exemption letters that we've provided online and learned that we have sent out approximately 100,000 of them. Yeah. Well, I hope you're clapping in a minute. I mention this for a couple of reasons. The first of which is because we continue to receive these but God testimonies. I'm going to share a couple today about how the Lord is using these letters as opportunities to share the gospel, as only He can. It's my hope that these but God testimonies are an encouragement to you, especially as it relates to your employer, your supervisor. They are not the enemy. The enemy's the enemy. They are not the enemy. They are the opportunity. How do you know that God did not bring you into that position for such a time as this? Well, you say, Pastor, with all due respect, I mean, come on, man. You don't know my supervisor. Well, if they are exceptionally antagonistic, that may very well be an indication that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in them. I would almost rather have someone be combative and argumentative because something's stirring in them. And I know the Holy Spirit's doing a work. They're agitated and frustrated and, you know. I sound like I'm talking about myself. I have to confess this, okay? Because the Lord's not going to let me get away with this. When Peter says, be respectful and gentle, oh, so many times, and God's doing a work in my life. I mean, so many times I'd be on the receiving end of, you know, that email that, you know, like, oh, yeah? I mean, the flesh, I know that dwells within me. There's no, I'm rotten through and through, and that flesh rears its ugly head, and it's kind of like, wah! And the Lord's doing a work in my heart not to be argumentative and combative. You know, I can win the argument and lose the opportunity. Okay, I confess there. So, we good now? All right. The second reason I mention this is that the employer or supervisor may take you to task and even threaten you, like Peter writes, but that might be a good thing. That might even be a God thing, because they're testing you. They're challenging you. I think we do err greatly when we fail to see these employers and supervisors as themselves looking for answers in their own lives. Don't think for a second. They've got children in school. They got a wife at home. They got a family. They're dealing with their pressures. They're dealing with all of this too. This is why I never want to give anyone a hard time when I'm out and about. You know, have you noticed how everyone is just on edge? I said that to somebody to kind of break the ice, you know, it's just because I'm usually the one that starts off with, how's your day going for you so far? You know, I can't smile because you can't see it through the mask, which, whatever. I try to do it with my eyes, you know, overcompensate. And man, I can tell, you know, they have been just beat up by the customers that were before me. And so I always want to make it up deliberately. I purpose to not be one of those. I used to be one of those customers, by the way. That's the last confession you're getting from me. But when I walk through that line, I'm looking at somebody that is really stressed and having their own difficulties, and you have no idea what they're going through in their lives. And so I want to encourage them. I want to bless them. I never want to give them a hard time, because they're looking for answers. Here's what I'm thinking. They want to know what you know. Would you agree with that? I'll take it a step further. They also want to know if you're the real deal. And I'm going to take it one more step further. They also want to know why you believe what you believe. And that's a good thing. This is why it is that I truly believe with all my heart that we have before us the grandest of opportunities at this time in human history to be at the ready with answers as to the reason for our blessed hope. Now, keenly aware that there are those who are on the receiving end of these threatening letters and forms from their employers requiring an explanation. Actually, not just an explanation. They want verification. They want authentication of the religious exemption request you're submitting. Now, we are going to provide you with what you need in as much as we're able. We appreciate your patience with us. I would like to, at this time, offer some ideas for the frequently asked questions that we're getting. But before I do, I need to first quote from a letter that was received by a member just a couple days ago from their employer in this regard. You know, I think you'll see why here in a moment. This is the letter this member received after submitting the religious exemption request. The employer: "We require that you provide us with a sworn affidavit signed by a commissioner of oaths, notary public, or justice of the peace, which includes the information, attestations, and acknowledgments set out below. Namely, we require that your affidavit contain answers to the following questions. Number one, how long have you been a part of the Calvary Chapel Kaneohe congregation, and how frequently have you attended their online sermons? Number two, how long have you held a sincere belief that your religion prevents you from receiving vaccines that were developed using animals and or cells from aborted human fetal tissue? Number three, have you received the mumps, measles, and rubella MMR vaccine, or the varicella chickenpox vaccine as required by the Child Care and Early Years Act 2014. Number four, if you have received the mumps, measles, and rubella MMR vaccine and or the varicella chickenpox vaccine, both of which were produced using cells from aborted human fetal tissue, why did your religious beliefs not prevent you from doing so?" It gets better. Oh, I know, that's what I said. Number five, have you taken any of the following commonly used medications which were produced and or developed using cells from aborted fetal tissue in the last 5 years? Tylenol, aspirin, Pepto-Bismol, Tums, Lipitor, Motrin, Maalox, Ex-Lax, Tylenol cold and flu, Benadryl, Sudafed, Albuterol, Preparation H." I'm sorry. That's right. I'm just reading it. Needed that levity. Acetaminophen, Claritin, Zoloft, Sufadrin, and Prilosec. Number six, if you have used any of the medications listed above in the last 5 years, why did your religious beliefs not prevent you from doing so? Number seven, yeah. Have you consumed meat, fish, eggs, milk, or any other animal products in the last 5 years? Number eight, this is when you want the rapture to happen, like right now. Now, I need to spend a little bit of time on number eight. You'll see why. Given that the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines do not contain any cells from aborted human fetal tissues, nor any materials that were manufactured from aborted human fetal tissue cells, why does your belief that the human body is the, quote, temple of the Lord prevent you from receiving these vaccines? Now, this is patently false. This is why we recommend that whenever somebody submit an exemption request, that you also include a downloadable 25-page PDF file. It's a white paper documenting very thoroughly the use of aborted fetal. And I stay away from cell lines because that kind of softens it up. This is nothing shy of tissues from aborted babies. This is patently false, and we can prove it, and that we have provided you with that. It comes from the voicefortruth.com website. Additionally, still going now, we require that you attest to and or acknowledge the following in your affidavit. One, that you cannot be vaccinated against COVID-19 due to your sincerely and consistently held religious beliefs. Number two, that you will never take any medication that was developed or produced using cells from aborted human fetal tissue in the future, including but not limited to those set out above, due to your sincerely and consistently held religious beliefs. Number three, that if you are later found to have taken any such medications after swearing this affidavit, that you may be subject to discipline up to and including termination of your employment for cause. Help me, Jesus. Right? If you'll bear with me, we're going to work our way through this, and I will do my best with the help of the Holy Spirit to help with this. We're going to begin with the most often asked question that we receive, which is, what if my employer needs a form signed by you, meaning us, meaning me? Okay, we'll do that. Email the form to us at office@calvarychapelkaneohe.com, and I will personally sign it. I'm signing them. They're coming in now more voluminous, obviously. We would only ask that you be patient with us. It is very important that you fill out your portion, because keep in mind, they want to hear you in your words. In your words. So please, you fill it out, then send it in, and give us enough time in advance of the deadline, and we will sign that and get that back to you. If you want to fax it, you can do that. We have our fax number available on our websites. Number two, how do I respond to my employer's questions about my vaccination history? Because now they're bringing up, you know, well, what about this? What about that? Okay. Now, again, this is an opportunity, okay? I keep saying that because I got to remind myself of that, or else I'll get into the flesh. So what do I do when they start bringing up my vaccine history? We don't provide legal or medical advice, but you may wish to simply mention that you've learned more about vaccines as a result of COVID-19 and that you are continuing to research this as well as future vaccines. By the way, all of these are going to be available on the FAQ, which I'll mention here in a moment, on the website. I'm just going to share this. I think I have already shared this. I know for me personally, this is one of those textbook cases of, had I known then what I know now, I have learned so much in the last 2 years about vaccines. If I would have known then what I know now, I would have never taken a vaccine. I would have never let my children take a vaccine. And I think it's very appropriate to share that. Nothing wrong with that. All right, number three. This is the biggie, right? What if my employer asks why I take other medications or vaccinations that have tissues from aborted babies? Now, respectfully inform them that many of these medications had already been developed predating the aborted fetal cells used in the vaccines and are not proven to contain them, because that's true. It's important to understand that the onus is on them, not us, such that they're the ones that need to provide said proof. Again, this all has to be communicated in your own words. You say the right thing, the right way, with the right heart, and God will honor it. Be respectful. Now, in the event that they do provide valid and vetted proof, then respectfully inform them that you will seek to find any alternative medication as a result. Also, as a side note, parenthetically, we would very much appreciate it if any of you have researched this and are willing to share your findings on this. When I try, I can't find anything. Everything's been scrubbed. It's either been scrubbed from the internet or it's buried so deep, by the time you actually find it in a search, well, the rapture will have happened by then. Number four, how do I respond to being labeled as an anti-vaxxer? Hear me out on this, because you don't respond in kind. This is Proverbs 24, I think, verses 5 and 6, which almost at first read seemingly contradict each other. Do not answer a fool according to their folly, lest they become wise in their own eyes. Or don't answer a fool according to their... Totally, like I said, it seemingly contradicts. Verse 4 says, don't answer a fool according to their folly, lest you become like them. The next verse, verse 5, says, answer a fool according to their folly, lest they become wise in their own eyes. In other words, gotcha. Don't play into this. Why? Because if you're anti-vax, then you're just part of this division and chaos and hatred that is happening, and it plays right into the hand of the enemy. Because it's all about vax versus anti-vax. Don't play into it. Don't take that bait. Here's what I say. No, I'm a former vaxxer. Now I just changed the whole complexion of the narrative. Well, what do you mean, former vaxxer? Oh, see, again, had I known then what I know now, there's no way I'm a former vaxxer. Because so much information has come out concerning these so-called vaccines, of which 72 doses consisting in 16 vaccines are given to your children. Did you know that? We have an online member, as a couple months back, just real quick, I need to mention this. She's a physician. She delivers babies, and she says, I will never allow these babies to be given what they call as the vitamin K. Oh, it sounds great. Hey, vitamin K, I'll take some of that. It's a vaccine at birth, before the immune system has even been developed. At birth. They're vaccinated. On the mainland, I hadn't planned on this, but maybe I'm supposed to. On the mainland, my first church that I planted, we had this family. Dear friends of ours, by the way. to this day, just dear friends. They did not vaccinate any of their children, and they were excoriated. You're one of those. And I remember their kids, because they were with our kids in the children's ministry growing up in the church, and they were sick. And everybody's like, well, get them vaxxed, they won't be sick. Well, here's the thing. It's a good thing they got sick, because that was their immune system beginning to build. Now, today, they're grown, they're adults, they are so healthy. No disorders, no asthma, ADHD. I say this lovingly, compassionately. No autism, no nothing, because they never allowed their babies to be injected with who knows what. I'm a former vaxxer. Don't label me that. Don't put me into that classification, because then that pits me against you and them against them, us against them. I'm a former vaxxer. You change the narrative. You change the complexion of that. All right, number five. What if my employer questions my exemption letter as just being a mass-produced online form letter that anyone can get? We actually had this happen a couple weeks ago. So an employer goes to our website and requests an exemption letter at jdfrog.org and gets it within 36 hours and then uses it against the employee and says to the employee, this letter, anybody can get it. Here's mine. Which is interesting, by the way, because in order for him to get that letter, he had to check a box that says, I am a born-again believer in and follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, you got saved then. He did it in spite. He did it to use it against the employee. So the employee reaches out to us, their online members, and say, what do I say to this? Yeah, don't worry, I'll take care of it. No, I didn't do that. I almost did, but I already confessed that, so stop. Here's the short answer. You are a member of a church that, while located in Hawaii, is global in its reach. Now, we're going to take it further. You can use the following email as a template to write your own response in your own words. And so I'm going to read this, and it'll be available on the site. This was taken from our response to this employer who did that. And we just got the email. In fact, I think it was on Friday, from the members saying they accepted it and thank you very much. So here's basically what we said. We've reformatted it. Again, it needs to be in your words. To whom it may concern, this email is in regards to the religious exemption letter I obtained from the website jdfarag.org. J.D. Farag is the founding and senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Kaneohe in Hawaii, and I am what is affectionately referred to as an online member of this church, which is a global ministry as well as a local congregation. While they do not have a formal church membership, anyone who watches the online services of the church and or is subscribed to the YouTube channel or the website is considered a member, whether locally or globally. In regards to the website, jdfrog.org, exemption request letter on the webpage, kindly allow me to explain. Calvary Chapel Kaneohe currently has approximately 300,000 followers and subscribers on YouTube and their website. When they first announced that they would make these religious exemption letters available, their small staff was quickly inundated with thousands of requests, which they were not ready for. I still don't know if my staff has forgiven me for this. as such, they utilized the services of the Master's Touch Print and Mail, who agreed to create a web page to facilitate what at last count was approximately 100,000 requests. This, after Pastor Farag had personally signed hundreds of requests initially. Simply put, they underestimated the size of their global ministry in this respect. Further, they have provided everyone with supporting documents and even set up a separate link on the site for members needing additional support. Also, they are keenly aware that there are those who are, quote, gaming the system, as it were, as you did. By virtue of the above-mentioned webpage and volume of requests, however, I can assure you that I am in no way doing this. Sadly, there will always be those who take advantage of a genuine effort to help and support people. Be that as it may, I am one of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people all over the world who are refusing this injection for the religious reasons stated in said exemption letter. I will assume that this email has sufficed in verifying the authenticity of my church membership and the validity of the exemption letter, as well as the biblical basis upon which the request was submitted. Respectfully, and then put your name. Yeah. Praise the Lord. One last thing on this. You can go to our support center by way of the resources drop-down menu as pictured here. It will take you to this page, the support center, where you'll see the exemption letters tab there in the right bottom corner. And then it will take you to this page. And we have the most amazing staff in the world. That's not hyperbole. No, I'm serious. When I get to heaven, the heavenly host is going to say, oh, you know who that is? He had the most amazing staff in the world. And not only that, he had the most amazing church in the world too. Yeah? Enter in. No, that's it. Well done. Our amazing staff is going to keep this updated for you moving forward. And any way that we can help you, we will absolutely help you. All we ask is that you just be patient with us. We are a very small staff and ministry, and it's all the Lord. It's all the Lord. Okay, I want to end the way we began concerning the paramount importance of Bible prophecy now being like no other time in human history. At the risk of an oversimplification, prophecy in the Bible describes with precision accuracy everything that is happening globally. And how far you are able to go with this and the opportunities that the Lord presents you to you for this, seize that opportunity. Even if you're on the receiving end of a letter, that was something, wasn't it? It may very well be that their mind's already made up. And that's okay. You don't think the Lord knows that? I mean, it's like the Lord going, what are we going to do? No, me, Lord knows. You know, it may very well be that God's closing that door, but we always say, I know it's cliche. I hate that it's cliche, but God never closes a door without opening up a better one. I bet I could go around this room and every single one of you could share testimony after testimony about how God just, I mean, he not only shut the door, he slammed it shut, locked it, and threw the key into the abyss, never to be found again. But God did that because he had something way more better. over here. Maybe God has something better for you. And lest one think that any response to something as antagonistic as that is in vain, it's not, because the word of the Lord never returns void. You have no idea. Don't you find it interesting? I caught this as I was reading. I read through it several times. And then my blood pressure went up too high and I had to stop. But so many times they kept referring to your religious, you know, and then they put in quotes your body, the temple of the Lord. Oh, that's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. It penetrated like fire. The word of God never returns void. They will never forget that because that's God's word. It's always going to sit there. And the Holy Spirit's going to stoke the flames and it's going to burn. They're going to, man, my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, dude. Okay, enough of that. Can I just say this lastly before we close with the gospel and the ABCs of salvation? I do have a couple of testimonies if you just bear with me, but, and I appreciate your patience, but Bible prophecy today is, I believe, the most powerful tool we have to reach the lost. And it could, again, be something so simple as just saying, you know, this whole COVID thing, however you want to refer to it, the Bible foretold it. What do you mean? Hey, take them to Revelation 18:23 and explain to them that this is a prophecy about every nation on earth being deceived. Do you want to know how they were deceived and what they were deceived by? Oh, they were deceived by sorceries. You know what that word sorceries means? Well, it's the Greek word pharmakia, where we get our English word for pharmaceutical. This was prophesied in the Bible that at the time of the end, the whole world, every nation on earth would be deceived by a pharmaceutical deception. Hello? This is why we do these updates and have been for years. It's why we end with the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, and the ABCs of salvation, which is just a childlike explanation of salvation. The A is for admit or acknowledge that you've sinned. Otherwise, you're not interested in a Savior. Unless and until you acknowledge that you've sinned, why would you be interested in the Savior? Romans 3:10 says there is no one righteous, not even one. And Romans 3:23 tells us why. It's because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. This is the bad news first. But here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the A. Here's the B. Very simply and centrally, might I add, is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. It could be said that it's not just as simple as ABC, it's actually simpler. It's as simple as B, believe. And when you believe, what comes as a result is this expression of calling upon the name of the Lord. As Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might, could, should, will be saved. And here's why. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And Romans 10:13 lastly says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's so simple. It's childlike simple. Can I just get 2-3 more minutes? I actually have 3, if you don't mind. 3 but God testimonies that I think will be an encouragement to you. The first comes from Tony Williams, who writes, "Hey, Pastor JD, I wanted to share with you how your ministry has blessed me and my family. I am active duty military stationed in North Carolina, and we have been following your ministry since we watched that wonderful documentary, Before the Wrath, back in April 2020. As you are well aware, the military is forcing the COVID jab on all active duty members unless a religious accommodation is approved at the major command level, which is essentially my boss's 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 boss." That's up there. "I've been in the military for over 15 years, and my rejection of this mandatory jab could possibly have me removed from the military. But God, I've submitted my religious accommodation paperwork along with the religious exemption letter from your ministry. Thank you. And I am waiting to hear what the Air Force is going to do with me. Unvaccinated service members are really frowned upon by higher leadership because we are considered non-deployable, meaning we can't travel on official military orders at all. My family and I are trusting God with our future if I am removed from the military. However, this process has warranted me the opportunity to share the gospel with people I would have never been able to reach. I've been able to share my faith with medical personnel at my unit that I rarely engage with. I have also had the opportunity to share my faith with my commander and included multiple Bible verses in my religious accommodation paperwork where I included the imminent return of Jesus Christ. My paperwork is going to be read by many high-ranking individuals within my chain of command, and I am believing God that someone will get saved because of it. I will continue to stand for what I believe and trust in God and lean not to my own understanding. I want to thank you for standing up for the truth, for your prophecy updates that I listen to faithfully every week. Your ministry has been a blessing to my life and has set me on fire for Christ again. Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in glory. Maranatha, Tony." Praise the Lord. This second one comes from Darlene Soa. Again, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. She writes, "I work at Haywood Regional Medical Center in Waynesville, North Carolina. I used your letter and added a bunch of other verses as we had to fill out a 2-page form. I accidentally sent my request to the president of the entire hospital organization, and I was called to the local CEO's office. He was angry with me for sending my letter to the president. I explained that I thought I was sending it to the corporate human resources person and did not mean to bother the president. I then started to evangelize. And for a long-winded conversation, I was on and on. Jesus this, Jesus that. I thought, I'm going to get fired. So I let the CEO have some Jesus. My exemption was accepted that day. Perhaps it was because I was so bold as I prayed before I went into the office. Perhaps it was because, and I want you to listen to this, I treated him as if he was a Christian, translated respectfully, and told him, listen to this, I would step aside for another employee if there was only a percentage of exemptions he could accept. Either way, it worked. Thank you so much, and God bless all you do. I was also able to help so many more with the information in your letter, and I have been emboldened at work and talk about my faith all the time now. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, this third one comes from Carrie Kasai, who writes, "Aloha, Pastor JD and Calvary Chapel Kaneohe from Central Florida. I am an RN of 35 years serving as I believe our Lord's calling upon my life. This week, it was my turn. I received the company email to take the first hokey pokey." I like that. I might have to plagiarize that one. "The first hokey pokey by 12/6/21, or submit an exemption request. I knew this day would come and immediately requested a letter for religious exemption from your office the very same day you so graciously offered it. I submitted my request on Thursday, knowing full well that it might be denied and that I would be out of a job, without income or medical insurance by next month. But God, I work in a department where there are only 4 of us out of about 40 to 50 employees that have refused. I sense all eyes are upon us. What will they do? Will they be terminated? I received my reply yesterday." This was last week, I want to say. "Approved. Now, 2 of the other 3 have approached me asking me, so glad you asked, because I just got done hearing this preacher talk about 1 Peter, where I'm supposed to be at the ready to give an answer to those who ask me. So they asked me how I got my request approved." So glad you asked. An open door. God has used this as an opportunity for me to witness, hallelujah, mahalo nui loa, for the support and encouragement I receive from my online church every week. A particular thank you for the recent study on faith, speaking of the Hebrews study, and the link to the avoicefortruth.com website. I have shared their web address and yours with several people already. I am grateful that my job is secure. Sad, however, because many healthcare workers' jobs are not. May we continue to lift them up in prayer, and may these mandates be stalled or even better, overturned. Maranatha, a sister in Christ, Psalm 46, verse 1. Yes, praise the Lord. Why don't you stand? We'll have the worship team come up. Thank you again for your patience. I think I shared this once. I hope you don't tire of me sharing this. I don't think we have any idea, this side of the rapture, how many people we're going to see in heaven because of COVID, because of this. Men are for evil, but God, as only He can, meant it for good, for the salvation of many this day. I just wonder, and please, as the Lord puts this on your heart, pray for those 100,000 letters, the recipients of those letters, and all of those that will read and review those letters. Pray for their salvation. I wonder how many people are going to come to Christ just because of that. Just because of that. They're going to get saved just because of this. Is it what was meant for evil, but God meant it for good? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Wow. Just wow. The intensity of it all is just yet another indication, like we need another one, of just how close we are to that trumpet. Lord, I pray that this creates within us that much needed urgency, as we just read in these testimonies about this fire being lit and this boldness that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and empowering us. Lord, we do need that holy boldness. When you present that opportunity and they ask us the questions, Lord, that we would have the answer. You're the answer, Jesus. You're the answer. You're our only answer, Jesus. You're our only hope, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come quickly, Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.